You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 8th, 2021, President Biden continues to insist things are just as they always have been. No big deal. He's talking about the tsunami of illegals coming across our border. And he said the other day, and it still has the position, the truth of the matter is nothing has changed. It happens every single solitary year. He did add there's a significant increase in the number coming to the border in the winter months of January, Feb, and March, but that happens every year. He's trying to explain away 172,000 migrants encountered in March, the highest number in nearly 20 years. And that included almost 20,000 children. A 100% increase from the already high numbers they saw in Feb. But he just says everything's good. He could also say, and don't forget, I turned it all over to Kamala. Remember, he said, I'm going to name her to stand between us and help us with our communities that are in need and help the illegals come on in so they can get settled and be part of our nation. We are a nation of immigrants. We're a nation of legal immigration. They are so quick to forget that one word. Of course, Biden has not been to the border. Just won't do it. Do you remember how many times Trump went down? And VP Harris, even though she was given the directive to kind of work with the Northern Triangle countries and Mexico, apparently the only thing she's bothered to do is make one call, maybe two calls. That's about it. And she hasn't been to the border. In fact, former U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, said Harris is, quote, missing in action. God help us if she ever becomes president. Boy, I agree with that. You know who is going down from the Biden administration today? Today, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas going to visit at least a couple of Texas border towns. Going to talk about resuming work on the border wall. Did you hear me? Resuming work on the border wall? Some of those areas, the material is there on the ground. It just needs to be put up. But the day Biden signed his executive order, within the first hour he's in office, everything stopped. So they're going to go back to what Trump did? What Trump did, huh? You think so? In the meantime, Biden is also supporting the MLB pulling out of Atlanta, Georgia, to punish them for that new election voting law in Georgia. But he won't really be that firm regarding the PGA and the Masters. He's just kind of waffling around on that. But Congressman Buddy Carter, Republican of Georgia, said Biden is doing irreparable damage to Georgia and our people, at the same time refusing to call for a boycott of the 2022 Olympics in China. And to that point, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo urging Americans to boycott the Olympics to be held in Beijing. He calls them the Genocide Olympics, for the Chinese Communist Party's treatment of minority Muslims in the country and repression of free speech. Oh, the word coming out, and we're gonna spend more time on this at the end of this hour as well. I had some last hour, but MLB Commissioner Robert Manfred apparently decided to move the All-Star game after having extensive discussions with LeBron James, Stacey Abrams, Al Sharpton, and all three of them saying, pull it out of Atlanta. Yes, I did say Stacey Abrams, but now she's saying, this is hurting Georgia. She kind of stuck him out in the middle of everywhere and then ran over him a couple times. And, of course, today Biden came forward and started trying to propose some new gun laws. He said the Second Amendment is not absolute. That reminds me of when Hillary, when she was campaigning in 2016, referenced the Second Amendment. She said, well, it's not really what everybody thinks it is. Don't let them get in control. By the way, Congressman Steve Cohen, Democrat, Tennessee, said that January 6th Capitol riot, he said that was just like the 1941 Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. No, it wasn't. He wants to liken that to what happened at Pearl Harbor, and they still insist 5 died in that event. They actually say 5 killed. No, only 1 was killed, the one shot by Capitol Police. By the way, the White House said again today, Biden and former President Barack Obama talk regularly about a range of issues, but they're not going to tell you exactly what. Do you think Obama is basically using Biden and having a third term, you think?
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be 2, 3, maybe 4 times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Run with a railroad when their backs are turned. Run with a railroad when their backs are turned.
Run with a railroad.
Get out of their sight.
When the engine turns, then you gotta move on, and you
gotta move on at night.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The fact is that we're on a good path at the border under leadership of President Biden. We were in a very bad situation under the Trump administration.
The fact is, Nancy Pelosi is absolutely wrong. We're not in a good situation. Yeah, that's Pelosi in a most recent news conference talking about things are good at the border. We're all good. I'm sure Kamala told her it's okay. She hasn't been at the border. You remember, I know you do, but I'm asking just for my own edification and to just remind us how often members of the leftists raced down to the border for any photo op they could to show all the kids in, quote, the cages and how Trump was separating them from their parents. I did mention then that some of those kids coming across, they probably weren't really with their parent. And I know for some are thinking, well, why would you think an adult would bring a child? And I said then for 2 reasons. 1, it makes them look like a family unit, so they had a better chance of getting in, certainly under the Trump administration, and now. And also that when they got that child across the border, maybe they're going to sell it, the child, for money, for sell it into sex slavery or something. You never know, and you don't really know what's happening to all these kids coming down on the routes. I should say coming up on the routes, but the stories are horrific. And I don't see the left down there demanding that these caravans stop because kids are being exposed on the route. And I don't see them standing up to find better conditions for the kids right now. And then you have Nancy Pelosi standing up there saying things are, it's a tough situation, but it's better than it was under the Trump administration. No, it is not. The numbers themselves, the numbers, if you just look at the numbers, you know it's not. So now we're just, they tell us all the time, believe in the science. I think math is considered a science. I could be wrong. I think I remember I've had my first real math in the third grade. I've told you that before. In the third grade, we had real math, and longest 3 years of my life. So I could be wrong. Maybe math isn't a science. You know damn well it's a science. It's right to the decimal point. I mean, I was so confused at that time in the third grade. I had to do your work, and you had to prove it, and I proofed it, and it looked like 2 plus 2 is 5, and I thought I found a new theorem, although I couldn't pronounce that word at the time. But what we have here in front of us is clear evidence of math, the numbers. Just look at the numbers. You want me to read through some for you? Let's talk about the number of migrant children, just the migrant children being detained at a facility in San Antonio. Nearly tripling in less than 2 weeks. Now, I don't mean they had one child, now they have three. I mean they had 500 children between the ages of 13 and 17 as of March 29 at the Freeman Expo Center in San Antonio. 500, March 29, as of Monday, this last Monday, they now have 1,370. You want to do the math and figure the percentage, go ahead. But I just tell you the flat number was for 500 to 1370. You know that's at least twice. And Congressman Henry Cuellar, Democrat in Texas, said too many people coming in, not enough people going out. Right now we are facing a humanitarian crisis, and I do use the word crisis. Democrats don't want to use that word. We don't have a crisis. We have a challenge. I want you to hear from someone else that has a take on some of the numbers going on down there. And this is a congressman who just finished a visit to the border himself. This is Congressman Tom McClintock, Republican of California. When you listen to this, you're going to hear a lot of numbers. You can just imagine a tsunami, a wave just building and building, and it's getting ready to sweep over you. Listen to how he details various numbers as they advance forward. Please listen.
We're way beyond any discussion over whether this is a border crisis. The question now is whether we have a border at all, and the answer is we don't. The numbers that we are seeing are absolutely staggering. The week of the election last year, there were only 100 family units that illegally crossed the border. By Inauguration Day, that number had increased to 1,100. Last week, it was 15,000. Mm. That'll give you some idea of the order of magnitude. The Border Patrol had 100,000 encounters with illegal aliens in February. It was 170,000 in March. 170,000 is the population of Salem, Oregon. That's in a single month. And those numbers don't include the estimated 130,000 gotaways, the folks that evaded the Border Patrol, who are smuggling drugs, doing human trafficking, and the Border Patrol tells me that is a very low number, 130,000.
Congressman McClintock, Republican of California. That's a tsunami. You don't want to call it a crisis? What do you want to call it? Again, he said, in advance of the inauguration, 100 were coming across on a daily basis. That surged to 1,100 at the inauguration. Last week, 15,000 coming across in a month. I'm talking about a month. And now we're at 170,000 at the border in March. They said that's a 71% increase from Feb. I'll rely on the stat. 172,000, and then points out, and that doesn't account for 130,000 that got away. Now, as of 130,000, that's a number that they know got away, that they saw them, they couldn't get to them in time. That's their estimate, and they think it's probably low. And what are we doing about it? We have Nancy Pelosi standing up there. Well, we're doing, it's a good deal, and we got President Biden in charge, and everything's good. He's not in charge, and in fact, he tried his best to wash his hands of it and turn it over to Kamala. Vice President Kamala Harris. I tell you, I really would have liked to have been a fly on the wall when she went back in to see her staff after he drug her out there and had her stand off to his right shoulder, both of them masked, and even though they had the vaccination, and talking and saying, I'm going to appoint Vice President Kamala Harris to be our point person to deal with the Northern Triangle in Mexico, trying to find a way to take care of the Central America so they quit coming. And I bet she went in there and said, he gave that darn thing to me. I don't want that. I don't want it. You doubt that I'm wrong about that? Well, has she been down there? Has she done anything? She has had no news conferences, nothing, said nothing about what she's doing. Wonder why? Well, Congressman Scalise might have a reason. Listen to this.
All this is going on the border. You can see why Vice President Kamala Harris either doesn't want to have this dumped in her lap because Joe Biden created the mess and is asking her to mop it up, or else she's in over her head. Either way, it doesn't bode well for the United States.
No, it doesn't. She's clearly in over her head. So is Biden. So is every Democrat that said, yeah, we want this to happen. They all on that one of their primary debate television appearances were asked, you remember them all being asked, do you think it should be criminal? People should be locked up and criminalized if they come across our border illegally? If you think we should not have a border, not charge people that, raise your hand. Well, every hand went up, every one of them. So we're getting exactly what they said they were going to do. But many of those Democrats, I believe, probably are having some second guessing going on, especially if they live close to those border states in them. But it's not just in those states, it's elsewhere they're migrating to. They're letting them come in. They're not even bother giving them orders of detainment anymore, simply waving them through and let them go. Maybe they'll do a cursory DNA check or some kind of biometric and then just let them go. Oh, COVID testing? They might not. If they find them positive COVID, they're not doing anything to stop it. They've got 10%+ of the kids in some of these holding facilities, they know they have COVID. And all this special distancing we're supposed to have is directed by CDC and Dr. Fauci. There's no 6 feet distancing between these kids. As Senator Cruz said the other day, not even 6 inches. And, of course, in the midst of all of this, and what those kids are going through at that point, and yeah, you could say, well, who sent them there? Well, it could be their parents, or maybe they got kidnapped from their parents and they're being sent across by cartel members. Who knows? They show up with a phone number in their pocket. If they're under age 18, they end up calling that number, Border Patrol. And if they have someone answer at the other end, say, yeah, that's my grandson or something, some kind of relative, cousin, send them on up here. We'll take care of them. No one is vetting where these kids are going, who they're being turned over to. So the Biden administration at this point basically is funding the drug cartel because the drugs coming in all of this, and child smuggling as well. We're going to hear probably, and who knows at what point, how some of these kids were simply brought across and turned into sex slaves. That's assuming they make it here alive. And just the journey to get here. It's not just the miles and the heat. It's the torture and abuse they faced coming on the trail, as described by Congressman Scalise.
It is beyond a disaster what they've done, not only to these border towns, the mayors, you hear them, Democrat and Republican, expressing outrage over what President Biden created. Joe Biden created this crisis, but the child abuse and neglect that's going on. It's not just the 20-plus day treks that some of these young kids are taking, 10 years old in many cases. They're being the girls, over a third of the girls are being sexually assaulted or raped along the journey.
A third. That's probably even a low estimate. That's Congressman Scalise, Republican of Louisiana. In Texas, Governor Abbott is now calling on President Biden to shut down the facility they've got in San Antonio, the one I was talking to you about a moment ago. He said because there are allegations of sexual abuse inside the facility on a constant, regular basis, and certainly a failure to separate these kids infected with COVID-19 from the others, children are not eating, an insufficient number of staffers, and in fact, according to Governor Abbott, in short, this facility is a health and safety nightmare. The Biden administration is now presiding over the abuse of children. Where are the left out there yelling and shouting, protect the kids? Where are you? You don't care about the kids. You use them as a pawn. You don't care about the illegals. You're using them. And don't forget the other day, the story we had about terrorists. We've already documented some. Again, Congressman Scalise.
You've got now at least six people on the terrorist watch list that have been caught. They won't tell us how many more. No doubt there's many more that have come across our border. And this isn't from Central and South America. This is from Middle Eastern countries, other nations where they have people on the terrorist watch list that know there is a porous southern border. And if you want to come and do harm to America, it's free reign. It's open season.
If you're a terrorist, part of a terrorist jihadist group, you know you're on a no-fly list. You can't fly into the U.S., but if you can get to Mexico and blend in, you might get across. Now, we caught some. You heard them say we caught some. And in fact, just eight days before Biden actually took office, Border Patrol agents in Southern California captured a 26-year-old illegal from Yemen. They ran checks on his background and found he was also on the FBI terrorist watch list, the no-fly list. We've been saying all along you have to have a border to have security. Now, the first one of them that goes on a jihadist mission with numerous cells are established in this nation, and they kill some innocent people, even Democrats being innocent at that point, you think they will then realize, oh, that was a bad idea? They want to say it over the graves in that case. And then we got Joe Biden pushing the Second Amendment.
One, two, three, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We should also ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines in this country. And we should also eliminate gun manufacturers from the immunity they receive from the Congress. If I get one thing on my list, the Lord came down and said, Joe, you get one of these? Give me that one. Because I tell you what, there would be a come-to-the-Lord moment these folks would have real quickly. But they're not. They're not. They're exempt.
That's Joe Biden earlier today in the Rose Garden talking about what he wants to see going forward with gun control. Did you hear a siren in the background? I did. Now, I don't know the story on the siren. It may have been an ambulance going somewhere there was someone sick. May have been going somewhere where someone was shot by an illegal gun, by someone who didn't obey gun laws. Might have been someone shot while trying to steal or attack someone else, and they're defending themselves or property. I don't know the answer for it, but it just kind of caught my ear. And here's Joe Biden talking about what we can do to basically control guns for law-abiding citizens. Law-abiding citizens. And he makes a statement at one point. Nothing I'm about to recommend on any way impinges on the Second Amendment. He said all those arguments saying that the constitutional rights are at stake are, quote, phony. He added no amendment. No amendment to the Constitution is absolute. Let me interpret that for you. First of all, it's a rephrasing of what Hillary did back in 2016 in campaigning, asked about Second Amendment, and she said, well, it doesn't really mean what everybody thinks it does. What do you mean it doesn't mean it says exactly what it says? The right to bear arms. But here's Biden saying no amendment to the Constitution is absolute. You want to cut through the crap that he threw at it in that wording? He's saying no amendment to the Constitution is sacred. That's what he's saying. And he went on to say that he wants the DOJ within 60 days propose a rule on braces used for handguns. The bump stocks, make them more accurate, proposing action on community violence intervention. Wants the DOJ to publish suggestions for red flag legislation. Have his administration issue a report on gun trafficking. He's picked a guy to head up the Bureau of ATF now that has been an anti-gun lobbyist. And he insists nothing I'm doing is going to affect you and your second rights, your Second Amendment rights. Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, said President Biden will try to get away with as much as he can with executive orders and whatever he can get through Congress. The NRA says these proposals announced by Biden and others are going to require law-abiding citizens to maybe surrender lawful property, enable states to expand gun confiscation orders. And yeah, Biden wants to see a weapons buyback. We know that doesn't work either. It's not taking the guns out of the criminal, out of the hands of the criminal element. When you take all the guns out of South Chicago in the hands of criminals, then come talk to me about some gun control. In the meantime, those people in South Chicago, they need protection from the thugs that are around them. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. Biden's tax cuts, what kind of effect are they going to have on the economy? It ain't gonna be good. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
Short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I do like that song by Kid Rock. So I did not mention a moment ago that Vice President Harris was actually in the Rose Garden along with President Biden today. She was seen, and she finally made some remarks at a press conference in the process of introducing Biden, actually, is what she was doing. And Diane, one of our listeners, sent an email to me. Harris spoke, but she talked about gun control, not the border. Hey, Harris, when are you going? Now, she didn't say a word one about the border, did they? All about the gun control thing. We do know, of course, that what Biden has proposed, all these aspects are going to cost us a ton of money and at the same time also going to impose more taxes. Remember, they're rolling back the Tax Cuts and Job Act signed into law by President Trump in 2017. The idea is to, you know, help protect this country and Americans, but now they're in process of dismantling them using all kinds of myth also, saying that those tax cuts Trump did were just for the rich. That's a lie. Let's break this out in more detail. Joining us now, Joel Griffin. He's with the Heritage Foundation, an expert in tax law. Joel, glad to have you on board again.
Hey, thanks for having me today, Larry.
So I'm looking at, first of all, let's talk about, as we see them trying to dismantle everything Trump did, reference to Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, specifically when they say that these tax cuts that Trump put in place are just for the rich. That's not right, is it?
Well, that's patently untrue. We know that the overwhelming majority of taxpayers receive a tax cut on all levels. In fact, the typical American family with 2 income earners and middle class range of 2 kids saved around $2,800 each and every year. Proportionally, relative to income, actually the middle class received more of a tax cut than those at the top. But most importantly, We saw tax reductions on businesses, which resulted in an investment boom. It resulted in the lowest unemployment rates in many generations, and it resulted in household income overall, even above and beyond the tax cuts. We saw median household income increase to an all-time record high. In fact, now the typical family here earns about $10,000 more in disposable income than in Germany, for instance. So these tax cuts had a very real impact on all levels of income earners.
But of course, now what we're facing now with the pandemic, things are obviously not as solid as they were based on some of the stats you were giving us. And imposing more taxes and raising the corporate tax on businesses, if we're going to raise the corporate taxes proposed by Biden, Trump got it cut down from, what, 31-32%, and now Biden wants to put it back up at 23%, which would be 2-3% more than Chinese Communist government would charge our corporations in China. What's that going to mean for corporations and being made in America, staying in America, where Trump had them?
Well, we something very important to keep in mind here is that prior to the tax cuts of 2017, if you're a U.S. company and you're earning income overseas, well, you have to pay taxes in the country in which you're doing business. And then if you wanted to actually bring those profits back to the United States, you would actually pay the U.S. tax on the difference, with the U.S. tax was the highest in the industrialized world. So companies are very reluctant to bring home the earnings that they had earned in overseas business operations. And we saw the corporate tax reduced to something competitive with those in Europe and in China. Well, we suddenly began to see a flow of capital back from those countries into the United States to help business opportunities here. Undoing that is going to have big impacts, not just for those companies, but for all of us who are benefiting from those jobs as well. And something else you really have to keep in mind. I understand most people, we're not huge shareholders in big corporations. We might not own even our own small companies. But when you raise taxes on these companies, you, in effect, diminish the returns on expected projects. And investors know not every project is going to be profitable. They make a determination based on what the expected after-tax return is. And when you go ahead and lower that return, which you will do across the board by increasing those taxes, a lot of those projects are going to become undesirable because of the risk involved. And that's going to mean fewer opportunities for everyday Americans as well.
The very fact is, when every time, and it'd be great, you know, I have no problem with folks being rich. I'd like everybody to have a higher standard of living than maybe what they have if they're really suffering. But the general line of attack has always been, you know, the rich always get richer and the poor get poorer. And if we're not careful, that does follow that. But the jobs and the businesses that create the jobs normally come from, quote, the rich, that they do that and are then the monies they're spending. I remember when they originally put in the luxury tax plus 10, 30 years ago now maybe, and immediately all the shipbuilding along the East Coast stopped. But the rich, they didn't stop getting their boats. They would just go to Europe and have a boat made. It put people in this nation out of work along those shipbuilding areas.
Yeah, I think that some of our left-wing politicians, they try to use the caricature of the wealthy as Scrooge McDuck, if you remember the old cartoons
right.
From childhood. And Scrooge McDuck would have the wealth and would just keep all these gold coins in a vault, which they weren't doing anything productive. Well, those that are truly wealthy, they don't have their money in a vault. They don't have the money under a mattress or in a hole in the backyard. They've invested that money in businesses which produce more wealth each and every year. And you can go ahead and levy a tax on that wealth or levy a tax on that income and have that money to go to D.C. to redistribute. But that's not going to be creating more wealth. You're going to get a one-time boost to the politicians that get to spend the money. But we're all going to be worse off longer term. But politicians know they can just get this bias because they get the headlines for spending the money. But we need to keep in mind, if we want long-term prosperity, we need to actually be incentivizing people, and especially the wealthy.
And provide jobs. Yeah, provide jobs.
Right. Yeah.
New York Times today, I get this morning slap in the face every day because I sign up for it, written by David Lenhardt, as to what's big news for the New York Times. And saying, good morning, what's the good morning, Larry. I always want to personalize it. He does about it. Good morning, Larry. What's the number one reason taxes on the very wealthy have declined? The fall in corporate taxes. And there begins a dirty little secret. The main cause of the radical decline in tax rates for wealthy Americans over the past 75 years isn't one anyone would guess. It's not lower income taxes, not lower estate taxes, but they fall into the corporate tax rate. And he points out in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, many corporations paid about half their profits to the federal government. That's changed. That now, basically, there's something, according to his information here, and you have to tell me it's true, that using President Donald Trump's 2017 tax overhaul, at least 55 companies paid zero federal income taxes last year. Well, of course, that's a lightning point for a lot of folks, even if they're conservative.
Well, people look at this as if this is somehow a bad thing, that businesses are having to pay less of their money to the federal government. We all benefit when businesses have more money to invest. I wish that we could have a situation in which we can lower that rate even more, because it doesn't just profit the investors, it profits all of us. You know, when you raise a tax on a business or have any taxes at all, those costs oftentimes are borne by labor, the workers. And there's study after study that shows that much of those taxes end up getting passed along to the workers and by way of lower wages. Consumers are impacted because businesses will have to try to recoup that investment or recoup that bottom line by raising prices. And in some cases, you simply can't raise the prices, you can't cut the wages, and you have these companies that go out of business. Talk to these companies in New York State, even before COVID, that were going under because of the high taxes there. These taxes
and the business leaving New York because of that before it got to that point. But again, I want to put their side in play again. He points out in this article that the justification for the tax cuts has often been that the economy as a whole will benefit. But he adds, it hasn't worked out that way. Economic growth has been mediocre. Incomes have grown even more slowly than the economy, so except for the wealthy.
Well, that's patently untrue, and that's not just data from the right wing. This is data from the Census Bureau, from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, trustworthy statisticians that actually work for these data centers. And we know that household income, median, which means in the middle, that means adjusted for inflation, was at all-time record highs leading up to COVID. And we know that the unemployment rates are at record lows. And there's a lot of misinformation about how the middle class is doing, whether or not the middle class is worse off. Well, we have to remember, thankfully, we have a country that's growing in prosperity, and the very definition of middle class changes over time. What it took to be middle class in 1965, somebody middle class today would have been upper middle class then, because the standard of living has increased overall.
Right.
And that's because we've been able to incentivize people to invest. We were becoming wealthier while places like Venezuela, that went in the complete opposite direction, have gotten poorer.
You know, I recall one time my dad was talking about, you know, we need to have more taxes on some of the wealthy and so forth. And then he suddenly realized he was a blue-collar oil field worker all of his life, but he'd worked hard and saved what he could. And suddenly he realized he was higher up in the middle class than he thought he was, and that he was considered part of the wealthy. And suddenly they reclassified me. And he said, I didn't really make any more. Well, sometimes it works out higher and lower at the same time. Joel, one final thing. Biden is insisting on what he's going to be able to do here, that it's going to be, as he said, the infrastructure plan will be honest, fair, fiscally responsible, pays for what we want. 15 seconds, your analysis.
Well, number one, the so-called infrastructure plan, only about one in every $13 actually goes to roads, bridges, and highways.
Right.
12 out of $13 amounts to a bailout of failing blue states and to items that aren't even close to infrastructure. Further nationalization of health care, preschool, child care, all these things that are unrelated. It's really a wish list for a far-left socialist agenda that they're trying to squeeze through with the name infrastructure.
All right, Joel, again, I appreciate it. We'll do it again. Joel Griffith from the Heritage Foundation. Thanks, Joel, for joining us. Coming back, I want to go back over this MLB decision and how Stacey Abrams was trying to play both sides of that story.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Question is, did that warrant such a massive move? Or should they have listened to Stacey Abrams? Should they listen to John Ossoff? Should they listen to Ralph Warnock, who said, keep the All-Star game here, please, but let's use this as a learning experience, and let's use this to draw America's attention.
That is, again, MSNBC, Joe Scarborough. I spent some time on this in the previous hour, but I did not want to let this hour go without digging back into this particular issue. He's, of course, talking about the All-Star game being moved out of Atlanta and dramatically hurting Atlanta and especially its citizens, which are 65% plus black, and all the businesses that are there. They were counting on that $100 million to be brought in by the All-Star game. And the MLB goes to Denver. 70%+ white in Denver. Scarborough was saying it did seem a lot of people jumped the gun. He said, I do believe Major League Baseball moved the All-Star game before actually either reading the bill or understanding how it lined up with New Jersey laws, New York laws, laws across the nation. Joe Scarborough, I will agree with you. That's exactly right. They didn't really pay attention to it. And then he said, but even then, as they looked at it and tried to use the reference of Jim Crow, was, did this really warrant a move? Or should they, he says, should they have listened to Stacey Abrams and went on to name Ossoff and Warnock to keep the game in Atlanta? Well, maybe they were listening to Stacey, and what she'd been doing is lying to the general public. She's been out there saying the poor people and the minorities of Atlanta will be the worst if you pull the game. Please stay. Please don't move the game. That's what she's been saying publicly. There's a story coming out and more evidence surfacing that the Major League Baseball Commissioner, Robert Manfred, decided to move the All-Star game on his own. Didn't even confer with the other, confer with the teams in the league or anything. He just made the decision after holding extensive discussions with LeBron James, Stacey Abrams, Al Sharpton. And apparently, Abrams and Sharpton said, the commissioner, you have to understand, players are going to boycott the game if you don't pull it out. And so basically, Stacey was going ahead and saying, take it. Go ahead and take it out. That's what she's saying behind closed doors to the MLB commissioner. But then when it's done, she comes out publicly and derides it. And she doesn't call Manfred out by direct statement. She doesn't name MLB direct. But she's making it clear, we lost this because of the voter election law. And it's going to hurt us. Well, she's in there telling him, go ahead and take it. In other words, they kept putting word in front of him that the easiest thing for you to deal with this in the MLB is just leave Georgia. So he made the decision. Then he tells his 8-member executive committee before he actually made the announcement. And, of course, the announcement surprised the 22 other teams. And then the players also surprised. Everybody's surprised. They just went ahead and did it. Well, they kind of got a bow of acceptance and encouragement. Also, the door opened in part by President Biden when he was asked about it and suggesting, well, you know, it might be good to make it clear that this shouldn't be done in Georgia. The law is wrong. Well, the law does not do everything they want you to believe it does. They want you to believe it denies people a chance to have anything to eat or drink in the line. That is not true. You can. It just can't be provided by campaign-type staff inside the area where you cannot have electioneering, and you know that near the polls if you've ever voted. And if you're going to have they've always had voter ID in Georgia, not always, but for many years. Now all they did was say, if you're requesting an absentee ballot, we need an ID to know that you really live there. Or if you don't have a voter ID, we will provide you one free of charge. Or if you want, bring a utility bill or something, it shows you live at that address because we'll send the application to that address. And the polls don't close at 5 o'clock. And in fact, they have more voting days now in Georgia than they do in New York State. And their restrictions in New York State and Delaware, where the Biden is from, are more strict than Georgia. But don't let the facts get in the way of the narrative. So when the MLB issued its statement on pulling the game from Atlanta, the first thing Abrams came out, she's disappointed. She said, I commend the players, the owners, the league commissioner for speaking out about our law, but I fear any boycott will hurt us. She said, as I've stated, I respect boycotts, though I don't want to see Georgia families hurt by lost events and jobs. $100 million. Her constituency needs to get in front of her and say, you actually cost us that. If you demanded stay, if you said stay, just make an issue of the election thing, then we might still have it. Stacey Abrams, that is on your back. They made the decision they did. Because you did not really stand for your people. You stood for your political career. We'll see if this helps you or wipes you out as the word gets out. As always, I appreciate you joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. Let your friends and family know. Remember our pledge. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.